Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk to the end of thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord. We'll move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give a peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord will
welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. Thank you for tuning in to the program today. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. And as always, I'm glad to be with you again this afternoon. Well, this is a motivational outreach program. I say it every week. My goal in this program, during the space of this radio airtime, is to encourage you this week, to encourage you. There's someone out there that's discouraged. This is a time of year, the holiday season, where people begin to reflect on what they don't have and what family they don't have. And, you know, they may not have the money to buy gifts or whatever it is. Because, I mean, if you look at the programming on TV, and you see all the images of the families having dinner, you may be tempted to compare your situation with their situation. I know how it is. I know how it is. And we must not submit ourselves to that kind of thinking. We have to be motivated into our own individual destinies and situations that God has for us. Sometimes we fail, we stumble when we look at someone else's situation. And so this program, if nothing else, is a program that I have created and designed to encourage you, and believe it or not, to encourage me. A lot of times I listen to my own broadcast and find myself being encouraged by my own words. So God wants us to be encouraged. God wants us to have faith. God wants us to move forward and not be distracted by what the situation may be with others, better or worse. He wants us to keep our eyes on what he has for us. Hallelujah. Well, the theme scripture for this program is 1 Corinthians 13:12, and this Biblia.com translation, like I said, it doesn't say what translation it is, but I nevertheless find it very, very, very expanded explanation of what the verse of scripture says in King James Version, in the King James Version. It says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Well, I read that every week. And of course, when I read it with expectancy that God will show me what he has for me. And though I may entertain the puzzling reflections in the mirror, after a while, God has promised that he will clear up any confusion about what he has for his people. Well, I believe in part of this program, your name is calling you. I find it very important that when a parent names a child, they are almost unknowingly motivated by God, because a name defines a person. I looked at the definition of a name. A name is a word or set of words by which a person, animal, place, or thing is known, addressed, desired, suggested, or decided on. And what happens when we name, or God names us, really God is inspired through the parent, is he is partially spelling out your destiny. I think I have a tweet that someone gave me, a plaque or something that had my name on it. When I examined the plaque, I said, wow, that's really specific. Really, really specific. And I have always been interested in names because they do express your being. It's not like you're trying to act out your name. It's just that you're existing in what God has called you to. I can explain. So one of my, the meanings of my name, Brenda, I looked it up and there was fiery. And some others great, but I wonder when God empowers you, it is there in your spirit. It is in your being. When you walk, you exude your name. And I don't think a lot of people are aware of it, but it is what God does. I can sense it sometimes, that my destiny, I can just sense it when I'm walking sometimes and I'm feeling a certain way. I don't have surroundings of it. Hello, I'm like, this is walking to my bathroom. Hello. But I can feel the power of my name. It is very evident to me what my destiny is. However, the surroundings may not match up what I believe my name is saying to me, but I'm living it. I'm existing in it, if you know what I mean. No one has to tell me what to do with my name. I'm living it from day to day. And so that is what I really want to get to here in this episode, this broadcast, Your Name Is Calling You. Because God, at the outset, causes your name to be supernaturally planted. And after that, your name defines you. Your name defines you. That's why you have to be so careful about how you name your offspring, because that's definitely the name of a person does express to a large degree the actual being and existence of that person, their personality, how they're going to react to situations, what accomplishments God is going to cause them to bring about. It's just the name. I can't explain this name thing. All I know is I live my name every day. I live my name, and it is nothing that you can learn. It is just you exist, and you carry it out without even really thinking about it. Why that is important, Your Name Is Calling You, I've moved to Genesis chapter 17. I'm still talking about Abram and Sarai, and I'm talking about the promise that God has given them of a son, Isaac. And everything God does, he seems to attach a name to it. And he makes sure that that name is fulfilled. The meaning of the name is fulfilled through that vessel that he has particularly named. Now, when I talk about the verb form of name, it says specify something, a desire suggested on decided on, I'm sorry. God has already decided on your destiny partially through your name. I know that being aware of my name, sometimes I deviate from my name and then I'm aware of it instantaneously. I am aware of my name. And when I deviate from it, I don't feel the same as when I'm acting out my name. Something you just have to know. And each individual is going to have to know for themselves. I know all the biblical examples of the characters and icons in the Bible acting out their name. And it just happens that when it's all over with, they've acted out their name. I've even experienced it in my own family. My young nephew, at an early age, living in a rural area, began to kill vicious snakes. I mean, out here in the woods and everything, and, you know, you come upon snakes and snakes come upon you. Hello, thank goodness I've never been here when it happened. Thank you, Lord. But at an early age, he began to kill snakes and not be fearful of them. He would seek them out and kill them, cut their heads off. And that's commonplace, like I said, in a rural setting like this. And I began to say, wow, he has no fear of those things, which I would just freeze up and just, you know, I would probably scream and run. But I began to look up his name, and I asked his mom, who was my sister, what does his name mean? And she told me his name means bravery. You see what I'm saying? So he was named at birth, and here he is at 12 years old killing snakes. So he's right. Nobody taught him to kill snakes. He just started to do it. Well, certainly what I'm getting to today in Genesis chapter 17 is God renewing his promises with both Sarah and Abram. But something has taken place. Something has taken place. And I believe the first thing has taken place is that after that mistake of convenience with Hagar, then there is a 13-year time period where I believe God, and there's nothing certainly here in the scripture that suggests to me that God had a conversation, or at least had a conversation where he was reinforcing his will, his destiny for Abram and Sarah. 13 years pass. When God starts to speak to Abram again, he's 99 years old. He's about to change their name. they're being led into their destiny names and their destiny as people who God have called to do certain things. Your name defines you. When you say it, every time you say it, you're actually calling out God's will for you. And we shall have what we say. Well, I did. I looked up the scripture. Mark 11:23, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." I mean, how simple is the faith of calling someone's name? Every time I call my nephew's name, I'm saying bravery. I'm saying bravery. And it takes very little faith to do it. But yet, in speaking, I'm calling his destiny into existence. And I say his name, and I'm saying bravery. And it's being called into existence. Bravery, bravery, bravery. And he lives out his bravery destiny all the time, all the time. Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So all the more important is that when you say something, then, and coming from your heart as well, your heart speaks as well, then that is you. If you say I'm a nothing, going nowhere, it is, you think it and really believe it, that's what you're going to have. And so as we think in our heart, stay with our heart, even stay with our mouth, that is our destiny. So our destiny, our name, is going to be calling us to be what our name says, so that we have to be careful. But when God does a thing, he wants to fulfill one of the ways that he reminds us of our destiny. Now, going back to the last chapter, the failure of Abram was that he allowed the woman to distract him from God's promises to him. And things became out of order. Things got out of order that way. And the man, the head, the man is the head of the woman. He is the enforcer of the destiny, the promise that God, he is the enforcer of the fulfillment of the promise of God, not the woman. She will cooperate. She's a helpmate, and she will help him fulfill it. But a man is the one that enforces the vision God gave him. One thing I know, even when we are looking for our prospective mate, first of all, the woman, I mean, it's not that she's not going to look. The woman is not just dead, okay? She has some eyes and ears and what have you. She has to be able to operate in her own will as well when preparing to receive God's destiny. But the man is the one that hears God. He will hear first and then communicate to the woman. If it's really true, then God will add additional confirmations along the way. And so it is important. I think things have been turned around today in terms of what the man is doing and what the woman is doing. So often we see the men laid back, like here is Abraham. He let Sarah tell him, "Sarah, tell him what to do. And let's just do it through Hagar." Okay. That is not the role of the man. The man is to enforce what God gave him. The woman at times, and I hope I'm never that way, may try to distract the man from what God told him. It's unfortunate, because I said it last week, it happened in the Garden of Eden as well with Eve. But, and you know, God calls it a weaker vessel, and I don't like that, but I'm just saying that's what God said, and I see an example of it here. When Abram is supposed to be saying, "Look, Sarah, I'm not doing it. God said it would be an heir from our own loins and our own flesh. I'm not doing it. Tell Hagar that's not her purpose, that's not her role, and let's just wait on God." He didn't do that. And as a result, there was a consequence. A lot of times we think we have our own destinies in our own hands, and God is in control of the man. And when that happens, He didn't punish Abraham, but there was some kind of chastisement here because he didn't speak to him for 13 years. When he was 86, when Ishmael was born. And then in the Genesis 17, we say, first verse,
It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. So he was chastising Abram about deviating from his instructions. That's the man. The man is the initiator. The man is the one that is the enforcer of God's promises. Sorry, excuse me. Suffering from a cold or something. The man, and sometimes we get it wrong. I know there are aggressive females. There are females that want to take the man's role when they have to, and I'm talking about in other ways. But when it comes to relationships and partnerships and covenant relationships, the woman, I didn't say she was dead. I didn't say she was dumb and blind and crazy. She is to be patient until God deals with the man. But, you know, it's not the woman's role to initiate relationships, really. It really isn't. We have it all turned around today. And it's not the woman's role to distract the man from what God has said he would do. I know that is a common thing today, and people get bored or what have you. But it's out of order. And if something is out of order, it is the man that is supposed to be putting it back in order. And as I said, now Abram has disobeyed God, you know, listening to the voice of a woman. I said in the prior broadcast, I said, you know, I kind of like someone that does listen to his wife, a man that does listen to his wife. I mean, it's a balance there. Come on, there's common sense. A balance. You want a man that's strong, a man that knows who he is, a man that's strong, and then a man that can engage you, hear you, listen to you, and be sensitive. It's just a common balance. That's what it was. So I admire Abram in that respect, but of course, he deviated from what God said. And what did God say? In chapter 15, it says, of Genesis, it says, God tells Abram, verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, the one shall not be your heir, the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Well, okay, well then in chapter 16, why are you turning around, listening to Sarah, when you already have your instructions? Okay, so 13 years passed by, and there's a consequence because God did not speak for that long of a time. It can bring delay. It can be delay in the fulfillment of the vision, of the promise, and delay indeed did happen to Abram and Sarah. Now, I'm sure they've since been worn out by Ishmael and Hagar. I know that's true because in the later scriptures, when we go back, we know that after a while, they totally dispensed of Hagar and Ishmael. But God provides supernaturally for them. So they're full of the strife. They're probably full of the disgust of doing something, the guilt of doing something that God said not to do. Not to do. And so then there's 13 years and it's full of strife probably, full of the things that you find when you disobey. And then here comes God. I'm believing, it's not stated here, but I believe the reason why God starts to change the name, he does change the name of Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah, because they've matured over the 13 years. They've realized their mistakes. They've realized that God is real and that he is going to fulfill his promises. They had to live with their mistakes. And it's so hard sometimes to live with your mistakes when you fail to do what God has said. Let me go through the scripture briefly, and then I'm going to end the broadcast and go and start over next week. In verse 2, it says, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. In verse 3, it says, then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Understand, God talked with Abram, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. God is repeating himself again. He's revealing himself again. He's enforcing the promise which he gave Abram and Sarah. He's talking to Abram. You know, you can't get anything across if you don't talk to a person. Hello. You really can't. I mean, it's just a failure in communication. God talked to Abram because he wanted him to know. You cannot, and you will not communicate with anybody if you don't talk to them. Even God talks. In verse 5, he says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. You see, God talked to him and told him right there, your name is Abraham. This is what it means. I've made you a father of many nations. I want you to start walking it out, participating in the vision that I have for you. Every time I call your name, if Sarah calls your name, you're going to be saying, hey, you're Abraham, the father of many nations. And so we see an example right there. When God names a thing, he knows what it is. It's the destiny of the name. It's the fulfillment of the name right there, even before you get to the fulfillment stage. In verse 6, it says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. So in other words, this is going to happen between you and Sarai. I know there's great unbelief, but we're going to see it in just a minute. He says, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Verse 8, and I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. He's telling you, I'm going to give you land, I'm going to give you descendants, and I'm going to be your God. I'm going to expand your place, your house here. And in verse 9, it says, and God said to Abram, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. Again, an additional admonishment. I want you to keep the words and obey the words that I've given you as a man. You're going to initiate enforcement, and you're going to preserve through enforcement the vision that I have for you. In verse 9, and God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant and your descendants after you throughout their generation. So I just said that. Verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Excuse me, sorry, have a cold. What I want to say here is that God is changing. I believe here that Abram and both Sarah have matured in the things of God. They've certainly faced 13 years of the absence of God. They probably have missed God's presence in their lives and realized that what they have done is not pleasing to God. Now, God will use even mistakes, I believe, to bless. And then just real quickly, I want to go to verse 15. I'll talk about the circumcision aspect next week. Verse 15, it says, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless and also give your son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And in verse 18, it says, And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Okay, he's having doubt here. So God has already changed his name. He told him he's the father of many nations. He's going to fill it. He's ready to bring it to pass. He's ready because Abram has matured to accept the things that God has for him. Except there is still some unbelief. There is still some doubt in Abraham's heart. His name has already changed. His name has already been committed to the full vision as a father of many nations. And he's still doubting. That happens sometimes when God's promises are conveyed and there's unbelief. So I will get to that next year. I will get to it next week. I'm sorry. But the point I'm driving home here is that
God knows our name, and he's constantly repeating our name. When we call each other's name, we're calling each other into a destiny. I was impressed also with Star Jones, her story, how her mother named her Star. Her mother named her Star, and look where she is. I was impressed with Fantasia, her name. She said her mother derived the name out of fantastic. And so names do have a meaning. That's the point I'm trying to drive home here today. I want to use my tags in closing for the program. And these are my tags. You probably see them there. But this is what I want to say. God calls us by our destiny names. Destiny names cause us to declare fulfillment even before it happens. And then identify our destiny and cause us to carry out or act out that destiny. And they remind us of our destiny. Once we recognize our name, we preview will for us. And our name prophesies our destiny. And so since we have what we say, those names are out there to remind us of the destinies that God has for us. Amen. And I'm grateful that God reminds us of our destinies. It's a piece of the puzzle, like I said. We don't know everything. But God is constantly reminding us, just like he reminded Abram and Sarah about what their destiny was. And then to further undergird what their destiny was, he changed their name. Now, he's changed their names today. But the point that we must remember is that there's a supernatural when they name us, and that they don't know even what they're doing, but they know that they're being led by God. They're being led. And that oftentimes we know that it's the will of God. It comes to pass, just like I told you about my nephew. No one was around. He wasn't killing snakes when he was born, but there's someone that said, okay, he is a brave person. And so that is why he is brave today. Amen. Well, that is all I have to say for the program today. I really do thank you for tuning in and listening to the program today. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/BrendaKSanders if you wish to replay this episode or any other episode on the show page. You may email me at thinkclearlyinthedark@gmail.com if you have a question, a comment, or a prayer request. Again, thanks again for listening, and have a very blessed week.
I'm blessed in the morning, I'm left throughout the evening, and anytime I pray, a well of joy springing up inside, water of new life that cries. Oh, in my spirit, way down in my spirit, say in my spirit, Jesus is Lord. Oh, these eyes keep beholding. These ears are king's machine. The shepherd as he speaks, he must be sheep. To hear him when he calls, to see him when he comes again.